All right. So today's sermon is "In Everything Give Thanks." Really? "In Everything Give Thanks." Amen. I'm done. So that was a pretty interesting morning. I believe God has a very good sense of humor. "In everything we are to give thanks." Today's scripture, we'll be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So if you'd want to turn there in your Bibles this morning, that would be great. Before we start, again, I would just like to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are. Lord, thank you that we can come this morning and worship and praise your name. Lord, it doesn't matter to you about electronics, about screens, about anything like that. Lord, what matters to you is where our hearts are. And Lord, this morning as we lift up our everything to you, Lord, I pray that you would be glorified, that you would be honored. Lord, that all the praise would go to you. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for the holiday season that we can celebrate with Thanksgiving just ending. May our hearts forever be thankful for your son Jesus and for his resurrection. Lord, as we celebrate Christmas and you, God, incarnate, coming down as a baby and living 33 years on this earth and being ridiculed and made fun of and spit upon, Lord, and then the ultimate death of a death on the cross. But Lord, that wasn't it. Lord, your resurrection has given us hope, has given us peace, has given us life eternal. And Lord, we can't thank you enough for that. Lord, I pray that as I speak your words, Lord, that they would come across clearly. Lord, that you again would be honored and glorified in everything. In Christ's name, amen. So a little history on the Thessalonians. So this was written by Paul during his second missionary journey. The church was established. He was there with Timothy, Barnabas. He stayed there for a little while. Was there for a little while. And then they left. And they left in a hurry, and they went to Corinth. And he wanted to find out how the church was doing, so what he did is he sent Timothy back and said, "Check on the church for me." And the report came back pretty well. It was written a few minutes after visiting. It was written in about 52 A.D. And when he sent Timothy back and the word came back to Paul from Timothy, he said, "You know what? The church is doing awesome. The church is doing really well." So Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians. This is kind of a rundown. Paul's salutation. This is where we find out that the church is doing well. This is where we find out that Paul is happy with what is happening. Then it's Paul's pastoral care. Then Paul's practical instruction in chapter 4 and 5. And those practical instructions are pretty broad. You have moral purity, disciplined living. Then he goes on to talk about the rapture and the day of the Lord, and then church relationships. And then after all that is said and done, he goes on to basic Christian living, and that's where we're going to spend our time this morning. If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So, John 11:35, Jesus wept, supposedly shortest verse in the Bible in the English language. In the Greek language, "rejoice always" is the shortest verse. So we're going to just go through these commands that are given to Paul for Christian living to the Thessalonians. And the first one, he says in verse 16, rejoice always. Seems kind of absurd to me. Rejoice always. How do you do that? How do you rejoice always? What's Paul saying here? We're supposed to rejoice in everything? So this morning, this is going to be awesome how this morning went. So when we can't get anything to work and we're struggling and we're panicking, Pastor Rob and everybody and Leah, that's hard for us. And we're supposed to still be rejoicing in this? I mean, it says rejoice always. It's right there in Scripture, in the truth. Rejoice always. You know, Paul, all over Scripture, talks about how we need to rejoice in all things. We're supposed to rejoice. We're supposed to be grateful and thankful for what God has done. And see, and that's the mentality. That's what we need to do. Paul was very aware of the command to rejoice, that we're supposed to rejoice. But Paul was also very aware of our sufferings and our discontentments. And it's all throughout Scripture that we're supposed to rejoice. Psalm 16, 8 through 9, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. I rejoice always because I've set the Lord before me. More scripture, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. So you ask, okay, Steve, how are you supposed to rejoice always in any circumstance? See, we can't control our circumstances. So there was this young man. He went to the pharmacy. He got 3 boxes of chocolate. He got a small box, a medium box, and a big box. And he brought it up to the pharmacist, and the pharmacist goes, 3 boxes of chocolate, that's, you know, different sizes. Just making conversation. The guy goes, oh, yeah, see, I've been dating this girl for a really long time, and like, today's the day. Like, if she holds my hand, I'm going to give her the box of little chocolates. If she lets me kiss her on the cheek, I'm going to give her the medium-sized chocolate. And if she kisses me on the lips, man, she's getting the big box of chocolates. So a pharmacist is like, oh, that's a pretty good idea. So he goes to dinner, meets the parents. He's all excited about after dinner and what's to come. And they're getting ready to eat, and the young man says, can I say the prayer? So the young man starts praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And he finally gets done, longest prayer ever. And the young lady leans over to him and goes, man, I didn't know you were religious. And he says to her, yeah, but I didn't know your dad was a pharmacist either. See, circumstances, he had this plan, right? He had this plan. And he had it all set out in his head and all set out in his mind. We can't change our circumstances. We can't control our circumstances. But yet Paul is saying to us that no matter what, we are supposed to rejoice because of who Jesus Christ is. Because we know Jesus, because we have a relationship with Jesus. It doesn't matter our circumstances. And in it, we're supposed to rejoice because we have God. We can take refuge in God. And when those things happen, we can rejoice and say, God, thank you for this. I rejoice always in you. It's a mentality. It's giving God the glory for whatever happens, that so we rejoice in it. And it's not this superficial rejoice of this thing of, you know, that was terrible, but thank God. I guess that, you know, I'm going to rejoice. Lord, I trust you. It's not this superficial thing. It's this supernatural thing that we have because of the Holy Spirit, that we are able to say, God, I rejoice in my sufferings because I get to focus on you. And only you can help me through this. That's where the rejoicing comes in. We are to be rejoicing at all times. And this is what I just got done saying. Because of our deep-seated confidence in God's sovereign love and mighty power, no event or circumstance in the Christian life, apart from sin, can or should diminish our joy. And it's because of that love and mighty power, sovereign, that God is God. And knowing that and having that, rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. I'm going to go through prayer, okay? In Greek, all right, prayer is for properly to exchange wishes, to pray, to literally to interact with the Lord by switching human wishes or ideas for the wishes as He, being God, imparts faith. All right? So in the Greek, all right, this is prayer that is supplication, submission, asking for forgiveness, for thankfulness. It's the overall word of prayer. It means all those things. It covers the basis of what prayer is. Prosichemai. Don't ask me to say that twice, but it's prosichemai. That is prayer. It's an attitude of prayer. It's taking my ideas and asking them to be God's ideas. Pray without ceasing. What does ceasing mean? What's? Don't stop ever. Okay. So if it says don't stop ever, if Paul's saying to the Thessalonians, don't stop ever praying, again, that sounds a little absurd to me. So so if I'm in a conversation and somebody says something to me, I'm like, wait, let me pray about that. Hang on. Okay. All right. Oh, wait, let me pray about that. Hang on. Oh, yeah, hang on. Right? That's what people think. Pray without ceasing. That's not what it necessarily means. It's this attitude. Right? It's constantly thinking about the sovereignty of God and how does that play into our life. It's having that attitude of God continually in conversation with God. But you know, that's what cell phones are for, right? So you're not going to pray head down, eyes closed, running into stuff. That's what cell phones are for. Okay? When you think about, never cease to pray. Never cease to be in the practice of the presence of God. That's what that means. Pray without ceasing, that every thought should be, because you are filled with the Holy Spirit, every thought should be about who Jesus is and who God is. It doesn't necessarily mean hands closed, eyes closed, head bowed, hands closed, or however you do it. It's this attitude. Pray without ceasing. I believe Paul's saying we should have a continual attitude of prayer on practicing the presence of God. Okay? Practicing the presence of God. There's a great book by that name. Practicing the Presence of God by a monk, Brother Lawrence. And in it, he talks about, there's a section where he talks about, it's like if God came as a guest, and he was a guest in your home, And he was there, and you were talking to him, and you were hosting him, and you were reaching out to him, and you were in conversation with him. It's like that. And then if we cease to pray, he's saying, it's like if we invited God to our house, he sat on the couch, and then we left and we did whatever we wanted to do. We wouldn't do that, would we? You invite somebody over to their house and you're like, I like you, but not enough to talk to you or spend time with you. Make yourself comfortable. I'm going to go watch the game. That's not how it works. See, I don't know about you, but when I finally realized who God was, I invited him into my life. And I said, God, you know what? I can't do this on my own. I need you. I have to have you. Because without you, my life is incomplete. And when I did that, my whole life turned. Not just one thing here or one thing there or one thing somewhere else. No, my whole life changed. And the reason why it changed is because I live my life for God because of what he did and what he continues to do in my relationship with him. See, it's this whole thing of, I'm not going to say, okay, God, I need you so bad. I need you. Come into my life. Everything I have is yours. And then a little while later, it's like, you know what? Never mind. I'm good. I get the basics. So I'm going to just keep you over there and I'm going to do whatever I want. No, my attitude is that in everything I do, I want to please God. I want to listen to God. I want to be Christ-like. It's hard. I think we can all say that. I'm far from perfect. Ask my wife. Ask my kids. But I know that I practice the presence of God because everything I want to do centers around him. Therefore, my praying never ceases. My conversation with God never ceases. So on Friday, I celebrated my 5th anniversary with Amanda. Okay, so we celebrated actually a week ago, but we still spent some time together on Friday. So I don't know if you are in a relationship, if how long you've been married. It's funny, because after my divorce, I said I'll never get in another relationship again. And then I met Amanda. And God, like I said at the beginning, has a sense of humor. And we started talking. We started talking church stuff. And she grew up Catholic, so it was like all this cool stuff that we got to talk about. I started to like her. And I'm thinking, I kind of really like her. And I told myself I would never get another relationship, and I like her. So I would see her every day at work. And then we worked together, like side by side, in a difficult job. And I got to see the person she was. And when I watched her, like, relate with people, I liked her even more. So then, thank the Lord she's in children's church. That's funny. So she said one night, or one day at work, she said, so what are you doing tonight? I said, I'm probably just going to sit home and watch TV. She goes, well, if you get bored, you know, you can text me if you want to do something. I'm stupid. I said, no, that's all right. I'm fine. And I know her face went, what? Did I just get denied? Yes. So I thought about it, and I texted her, and we just kind of talked. We didn't go out. We just talked. So then I said, you know, I was really stupid. I should have probably went out with you tonight, but let's do it another night. So we did. So I spent all day with this woman, right, at work, 5 days a week, 10 hours a day because we work 10-hour shifts. And you know what? I couldn't wait to get home and call her. And I just spent all this time with her. And so I'd call her and we'd talk for hours. And I had a second job. I cleaned Verizon stores, and as I was cleaning, I'd be on the phone with her, talking to her. And then when I got done at Verizon at like 11 o'clock at night cleaning, because I had to go after they closed, after I did that, I'd go to her house. And we'd sit on the porch and we'd talk. And then I'd leave and I'd go sleep for a few hours. And then I would go to work. And guess who was there? It's this continuous thing. It's this longing. It was my insides hurt when I wasn't talking to her, because I liked her so much. And it just became this thing of where we just talked all the time. And then I asked her to marry me. And then we got married. And now I spend all the time with her. And there's times where I can't wait to just be like, I need some guy time. Right? We don't always see eye to eye. She's shorter than I am. Let that sink in. Okay? But it's this thing of this longing for her. And you know, as you go on in life, 5 years, that may not seem like a long time, but it went by like that. And I said to her on Friday, I said, you know what, I love you more now than when I did when I asked you to marry me. Because it's the absolute truth, because I know her more now than I did when I asked her to marry me. And that should be our relationship with God. That's the pray without ceasing. That's that constant communication. It's that constant longing to be with God and to talk to him and to be with him and to think about him. So in our lives, we can emulate who he is. And that's why we pray without ceasing. That's what Paul is saying to the Thessalonians. He's like, rejoice always in everything and then pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Focus on God in everything. It doesn't mean head down, eyes closed, hands folded. It means just in constant thought, constant being in the presence, knowing that he is sovereign. That's what that is. Paul knows this. He goes on in Romans, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You know, my kids are scared to death to pray because their dad's a pastor and they don't want to say the wrong thing. So they won't pray. Sometimes at the table, they're like, I don't know what to say. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. You're not praying to me. You're not praying to Amanda. You're not praying to the dog. You're praying to God. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit. That's when Jesus died on the cross, he came and he said, I promise I'm going to give you this Spirit, and this Spirit is going to intercede for you. So even in your mumblings, God knows your heart because the Holy Spirit intercedes. That's pretty awesome. And that's why I tell my kids, it doesn't matter what you say. God knows your heart. If I don't understand it, okay, God knows. Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Praying at all times in the Spirit. Pray without ceasing. One more, James 5:13 through 14. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And that says in everything, suffering, cheerful, sick, joy, you pray. In everything, you're in that communication with God. Lastly, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Notice the first word. And you've probably heard this a million times, because I think every pastor that rightly divides the word to truth will point this out. In everything. not for. Because see, God doesn't allow evil. He doesn't condone evil. He doesn't make evil happen. So not for everything give thanks, but in everything give thanks. And that's a hard one. That's a really hard one. December 18th, 2007. About 8:30 in the morning, I was at my sister's house with the rest of my family. We were there. We were all there because my mother was on her deathbed. And we had gone through a week and a half of ups and downs, praise and prayer, sorrow, hurt, anger, all of this, every emotion you could ever feel. About 8:30 in the morning, my dad and I are sitting next to my mom's bed. I had the night watch, so third shift, I watched my mom, I gave her her medicine, and she was comatose, so there was no interaction there. But I remember my sisters came down, and they were like, "So, what's the update?" And I'm like, "Same old." So my oldest sister, Chris, who was in from Minnesota, said, "Okay, you know what, I am going to go up and take a shower, and call me if anything happens." Okay. Kathy was, I don't know where, my middle sister, her husband was off to work, and we're there, and I'm just talking to my dad, and we're just talking over, he's on one side of my mom's bed, I'm on the other, we're just talking, and all of a sudden, we heard my mom gasp, and her face turned about 75 different colors. And then she just let out this long last breath. I'll never forget it. And it was just me and my dad. And I looked at him, and he said, "Finally." And I'm like, "Really?" See, that's hard. That's hard to experience that. That's suffering, right? For our family. I miss my mom. I miss my mom a lot, especially this time of year. Okay? And I read this, and it says, "In everything, give thanks." Okay, Lord, I can give thanks because I know she's not suffering anymore. That's easy enough. But with my mom not here, am I supposed to give thanks because she's not here? You ask me that now? And I'm going to say absolutely. Because if you look at what Paul is saying, he says, "In everything, give thanks." My mom suffered from cancer for 22 plus years. So she's not suffering anymore. So that's easy to say. But she's not here with me. She's not here with our family during her favorite time of year. We don't get the 23 kind of different cookies she made for Christmas, which is okay. But the thing is I rejoice and I give thanks because she is with her Lord and Savior, and I have that hope and I have that peace that passes all understanding because I know she had that relationship. And that is where us as Christ followers, as believers, that's why we give thanks in everything. Is because we have that. And that's what Paul's saying to the Thessalonians. He's like, you got to give thanks to everything. They're dealing with some stuff. And he's saying, in everything, give thanks. But Steve, I don't know if I can do that. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand how you can do that. practicing the presence of God. Knowing that God is in control. Knowing that this is my temporary home. Knowing that I get to spend eternity with God because of my faith in Lord Jesus Christ. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will. Psalm 138, 1 through 3. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love, what? Endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. See, that's something we as Christians have the knowledge of, is God is never going away. Ever. Because his love endures forever, and because I have that promise and I believe in that promise, I can give thanks in all things. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We just studied this not too long ago. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. Remember, pray without ceasing. Supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because of the peace of God, and because of who he is in sending his son Jesus to die on the cross, and when he rose again, we can without a doubt say, I have this peace. I can be thankful in all things. It is God's will for you in Christ Jesus that those who are in Christ Jesus should express constant joy, constant prayer, and constant thanksgiving. Those are the three commands that Paul just gave us. It is God's will, this is the last part of verse 18, it is God's will for you in Christ Jesus that those who, being you and me, have that relationship with Christ Jesus should express constant joy, constant prayer, and constant thanksgiving in everything because we have Jesus Christ. And it pleases God. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasures. So my question that we started with, in everything give thanks. Hopefully, now it's not a really. Hopefully, because of who you are in Jesus Christ, you can say really. So give in everything, give thanks, really. Dear High Father, thank you so much for who you are. Lord, as we come before you this morning, Lord, I just ask that we would just be continually thinking of this, continually thinking of the commands that you gave us to pray without ceasing, to always rejoice and everything give thanks to you. Lord, any of this would not be possible without your son. As we get ready to celebrate his birth, may we be mindful of those around us who may not know this truth and may not know this love and may not know this peace, that they can't come to you, or they won't come to you. Lord, may we as a church not be ashamed to spread your gospel. Lord, thank you so much. May we honor and glorify you in everything we say and do. In Christ's name, amen.
Please stand as we sing "We Are So Blessed" in response.